he's saying, he put a few out. Let's see. He says, Sandy, Sandy.
Yeah, my man, Frank. Those were Gulf States Toyota days.
Then you got Ryan Hill saying, good job, Sandy.
What's up, Ryan?
Then Lawrence.
My man down at Gold Coast Cadillac, Larry Moskowitz. Larry Moskowitz is a genius, my man.
Well, if he's saying you're awesome, he must be, right? That's right. He said, yeah. Frank said he's known you for over 10 years.
Yeah, I know Frank, absolutely. Gulf States Toyota days.
Damien Boudreaux.
That's a million-dollar name right there. Damien Boudreaux. I wish I had that name.
I know. I'm so jealous of that. So I was like,
seriously?
Bro, he must walk in a bar and just everyone walks up, gives him free drinks the whole nine. Damien Boudreaux. So we got Frank saying best podcast ever. Thank you so much, Frank. I couldn't agree any more than that, my friend. You got Larry. He says, I have the honor of working for him.
That is correct.
Yikes.
I knew Larry when, and he knew me when. Like, that might not be a good thing. I don't know. Roosevelt, we got to get together, Roosevelt. That dude's a power broker right there. He's a young, smart guy out of the Newark, New Jersey area.
I cool believe dude. That. I want to hear more about
Damien
it.
Damien says your story was beautiful, man. That is great. Looking good.
Bruno, my man, Bruno.
Bruno.
Bruno says, Sandy is one of the few consultants that is a former owner that makes him an ultimate expert, no doubt.
Folks, now, I don't know about ultimate, but we've learned from experience, B. You know that. And we owe each other a phone call, Bruno, so we'll get that done.
So all these years that you've been doing this, Sandy, you know, there's a lot of people out there to support you that love you. I've seen it. I've seen posts that you put out. I see what people write. I've seen you being on shows. I've seen the comments. I've seen your guests who talk to you, love you. Mike, I guess the question I would have is, out of all the people that you've met in this business, and I'm just talking car business, pretty much in particular the automotive business, who has been your biggest influence? Who's been the guy or gal who's helped you get to that next level?
That's a great question. I'd say there's two people, right? The first is my dad, who passed away about 3.5 years ago. My dad was like a larger-than-life personality. He gave me the opportunity to be me, put up with all of my nonsense. We were like courtship of Eddie's father. I went to live with him when I was 11 years old. It was just the two of us. My parents were split, and he gave me the chance to make all the mistakes, didn't judge me, beat my ass when I needed to have my ass beat, I can promise you, but was the greatest influence in terms of getting me to understand the importance of people and relationships. And then the other guy would be Ed Abruzzese, who was the general manager of our store as I was a kid growing up. Wow. And he taught me about stability, he taught me about accountability, responsibility, to be the right kind of person, to take care of people the right way, taught me a lot about the business itself. The nuts and bolts of the business. Right. And so I'd say those two would be the two biggest influences I've had in terms of the car business, for sure.
Wow. Big shout out.
I should say Jim Ziegler, my man, the car guy, the Alpha Dog. He, I have been an Alpha Dog fan for over 25 years. I call him a friend at this point, but he's been a big influence just in terms of being able to look out on the horizon and see what's coming. He's one of the smartest futurists I've ever seen as it relates to the car business, for sure.
There's no doubt, and the more that I've been involved in social media and the more that I've been able to watch, the Alpha Dog go on shows, have his own show, the whole nine, that guy has a lot of knowledge. He's very, very intuitive, and I absolutely like to see what he's talking about. You know, much like you are, Sandy, and you obviously it's hard to see that in yourself, but you're very much like that too. You know, people like you, guys like Scott. I love Scott too. Scott's a
guy. My man Scott Joseph has had an impact on my life over the last 2+ years. I consider him to be one of my closest friends. He's changed how I think for the better as it relates to business in general. He's one of the smartest people I've ever come across in my entire life. I'm blessed to call him a friend.
Yeah, and that's great. That's so awesome, and I think that you do. You have a great network that you've built up around you. The support system that you have is great, to include starting from home with your family. Now you have great business partners. You have people that you're doing some amazing things with, and it's really fun to watch you grow. And you've been growing for a long time, but it's still fun. I'm a fan, and I just like to see what you're doing. Every time
It goes both ways, by the way, my friend, as I said to you.
I appreciate that. We're doing our best to try to keep up with the guys. We're doing our thing. But the most important thing is we just, much like you, what we do best is help other people. You're talking about, you love to go out and be a solutionist for dealerships, for individuals, for whatever you're doing, you're going to be a solutionist for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
mm-hmm.
we believe we're solutionaries, because when I really sat down and I thought about, what do you do best? What do you love to do? It's help people, period. Always has been that since the day I've been alive. And I'm really good at that, and I love doing it. And to meet somebody like you who's on that same level but just been doing it at a higher level than us for a long time, I'm excited to get to know you. I'm excited to grow with you, to learn from you. So having this conversation right now, going through these five-liner with you is pretty awesome. You know, for me,
I feel the same way. But, Fred, I watch you, and now I just connected with Lou. I sent him a connection request on LinkedIn, and I got to catch him on IG as well. But I've been watching what you do, and the thing that I love about Fred's content and the perspective and focus that you bring is it is about helping people, but the most important thing is it's authentic and genuine. And if it's not authentic and genuine on the social media side, it doesn't play. I'm sorry. It just doesn't play. And if it doesn't match what they see and hear and feel live and in person, then we know it's all bullshit. Right.
So, right. It's the key, you know, and honestly, and not to talk about me, but the reason my posts are the way they are, I'm inspired by that. Those quick brews I do daily are quick brews. They're for everybody, but they're really for me. Like, mm-hmm. I need to work on this today. So, you know what? I'm going to put a post out. Now that's going to hold me accountable. The rest of the day, I'm going to think about making sure I fix that, make sure that I keep working on that issue, and I'm going to be better by the end of the day because of it.
Absolutely.
And that's the same thing for other people. So that's all it is. That's why, to me, it's authentic, because it's real. It's really from here. It's what I want to do. So
yeah.
Speaking of authentic, we saw something, or I got to see something on one of your posts. You were inside of a BMW store.
Mm-hmm.
Watching.
Yes.
Gym, right? And there was an interaction that happened there where you had a little bit of an older salesperson. Said something wise, said something good, made a good comment about something, right? The younger guy took that, he adopted it, and said, oh, man, that is good. That's good stuff. I'm going to take that. I'm going to use that. It's going to make me a car deal, right?
Yep.
And he made a post about it. He put it out there. He did that. That was such – I mean, that moment, I was like, oh, my gosh. Everybody see what just happened here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This young man took this, and it passed through somebody else's hand, through somebody else's thought pattern, and you helped them to see that. You sitting there helping them, did you see what happened there? That is so key for people.
Yeah, Lou, I tell you, those are the days that, you know, quite honestly, when I get up in the morning, I'm looking for that every single day that we're working with, you know, dealership, you know, team players, like people that are looking to get better, right? That are not, you know, they're not going to judge the source from which it comes. It's just like, hey, something made sense. I'm going to go use it. I live for those moments as well. And those happen often. I'm excited. And that's why I get out of bed every morning literally saying thank you, because I get the chance to do it. You know, my cohort in crime, Chris Mulligan, who's been with me for a little over 3 months now, we've expanded the practice at this point because we're drinking out of a fire hose for the last 5 months, you know, a little bit of a COVID impact. But, you know, we say to each other all the time, we get to do this. Like, we actually get to do this, and it blows our minds sometimes. And that's exactly why, what you just talked about.
Seeing the people come alive when they get to see that, which is the testament, again, to what happens when you unlock this tool of social media. Again, mm-hmm. this is just another tool. This is a crazy smart tool, right? Anybody can put their product in front of whatever specific audience they want.
Yep.
And we still don't have the regulation that putting something on the television would be, right? You can't play certain commercials at the times the children are watching, you know, cartoons, right? These regulations, this is still somewhat the wild, wild west, right? We can get our message out there.
Exactly. Right?
Oh, that's a good way to put it, Lou.
We're having fun, but there's so much learning that happens. You've rebuilt your entire persona. You are a testament, my friend, of what this business can be to somebody that loses absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, and again, we're getting familiar with each other, and we'll talk a little bit more. He knows that around that same time you were going through that, I was going through a similar situation.
Right.
And leaning back into the car business and the ability that we have, and having friends, family that said, you know, I believe in you, and you're really great. Go,
damn right.
Go be great, and go do
right.
it, and let you free, and let you go do your thing. This business allows that for anybody. You don't even need the $11 you had, right, to be able to make it successful.
Yeah, well, it didn't take me too far, buddy. You know, I was knocking on the door going, you know, where can we get some more?
You went to get a coffee, folks. There's something to that.
That's true. That is God's honest truth.
Right there.
I still go to that table, by the way. That same Starbucks is there. I still go to that table in the corner. If it's open when I go there, that's the table I sit in. Just as a reminder, I want to stay, you know, with my feet on the ground, as they say. But, you know, what you just said, Lou, is important for people to understand is that you have to give yourself permission to then go for it. You know, I think there's so many people kind of locked up here in the 6-inch space between their ears where they're not giving themselves permission to go for it because they either don't feel that they're worthy or their talent level isn't up to snuff or, you know, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. You know, we were talking about somebody off camera before we came on. You said like the videos weren't so great. And I said, well, they're not supposed to be. When we first get started doing anything, whether it's social media, selling, you know, playing baseball, dancing, I mean, it makes no difference. When you first get started, there are very few natural born anythings in the world, let's be honest. Yep. And so you're supposed to be really shitty at it before you're ever any good. Mm-hmm. Right. Back. So I want people to have the courage and to give themselves permission to be really crappy at something before they're ever any good and grow through that experience. It's the only way you get better.
That's exactly it. You know, there's that saying that says, when's the best time to start something? 20 years ago. What's the second best? The second best time is right now. And that is the key. You know, whether you mess up, whether it doesn't look right, whether your video that you make has crappy quality, whether the sound doesn't sound good,
doesn't matter.
Maybe you said, a million times on that video. Who cares? Right. If you go back and you watch Lou and I's first show, if you listen to my first quick brew, there was a lot of stumbles in it. But you know what? That was okay. The key was to keep doing it. And every day I got better. Every day you get better, Sandy. Every day everybody who's doing this consistently.
Every one of us.
We're getting better at this. Just like a basketball player, Michael Jordan didn't come out and shoot, you know, could dunk on everybody the very first time he played basketball. He had to work on that. He had to get stronger. He had to get his vertical. He had to learn
absolutely
how to create the space and how to, you know, cross somebody up and get that extra space by him to be able to take it up to the next level.
It's
and all
so
that
true.
Work.
So
it's,
true.
And it's consistent work every single day. And when you do it, it starts to become almost normal, but at a point where you start to want to change things up even then. That's where that evolution comes. And we have to all understand that, too.
Guys, go back to like Gary Vee. You guys know Gary Vaynerchuk, right?
God, I love Gary Vee. He's one of my biggest reasons why.
He's a beast. He's a beast. You know, I look at Gary Vee, and if you go back to the earliest days of Wine Library TV on YouTube, and you see the quality and the content of those videos, and he'd be the first one to admit it, which is what I love about him, his transparency. He's just raw, and what you see is what you get. Yep. Authenticity, right? If you go back to that early content, you'll see exactly what we're talking about here. And I think if people give themselves the opportunity to go back and see that and then just get started, like just press record, have something meaningful to say, whether you execute it perfectly or not is not the point. The point is you got to get started, you know?
And people actually love the imperfections. Because when people look at, when I see videos that are just way too perfect, I kind of get bored with them. I like to see people mess up. I almost like watching people's blooper reels. You know, when they put out a reel that shows them messing up multiple times.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's authentic. That's real. That's who they are. It shows the struggle. Because everyone, folks, if you're watching this right now and you're struggling about videos, you may have even recorded one but just never posted it because you looked at it and you're like, man, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Post it. Does not matter. Just post it. You could ask Lou. Lou was... I came into this and you know what? I jumped in with both feet. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I've only been on social media. I think it was just a couple of days ago, one year now. People don't realize that. But
Seriously?
Yeah. Now LinkedIn, couple years. I've been on LinkedIn. I was following. I started getting courage because of LinkedIn, but then I jumped on Facebook 1 year ago, Instagram 1 year ago, and all the other sources, Twitter, TikTok.
Good for you. Yep.
But I went ham with it. I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it because I want to really prove something here. I want to show because the whole point of what I'm doing is trying to show people to keep growing. And the only way you keep growing is just to take those steps. It's the hardest step is that first step. And I'm sure Sandy agrees. That first step is the toughest one. But once you take that first step, the next step gets easier. And then the steps keep getting easier and easier. So
everybody worries about the dudes in the black robes with the white wigs, right? The judges, they're going to slam the gavel down. Your content stunk. You know what? If that's how they feel, they don't have to watch you.
It's not for you.
Think about the evolution, guys. This really started on, you know, TV, right, with the reality TV series.
Yes.
But, you know, people grew tired of that after a couple of years because it was so scripted, and it turned into inauthentic content. So where did they go to get their content? Because they had an appetite for real world, real life stuff is what we're talking about here. They went to social media, and that's why authentic, real, raw works and plays so well. You know, with the content on social media, for sure.
And maintaining a commitment to staying consistent. If there's one thing that Fred did, again, you're blown away. And so many people are blown away. You know, we didn't – saying it is a year now, it almost seems like a long time. It seemed like so much more when it was like, man, I've only been on social media
right.
for 6 months.
Yeah.
When 8 months. Right now we're at a full year, but it's still not that long. What he did was he applied a consistent application of content, boom, boom, boom,
yes.
boom, boom, that got out there, right? Some people, it's taken them years to lay out that type of a following or a friend group on the social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It takes a time to do that. But he applied simple methods that he did consistently, and it was just real, raw information for today. Today it might hit somebody. 2 weeks from now it might hit somebody in another video, right? Depending on
Absolutely.
When it comes out, get it out there, and then – you have a foundation, right? Nope, there's no possible way anybody can get through a day and watch all of Fred's videos, watch all of my videos.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question because we use a great analogy. We use the coffee analogy, right? So you guys just started with your special roast, Car Guy Coffee. By the way, make sure you subscribe and get some Car Guy Coffee. I certainly am going to do that as soon as we get finished over here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start shouting out Car Guy Coffee on my videos.
Get you
for sure. Yeah, no doubt. But think about this. If you were to take just a scoop of Car Guy Coffee, stick it into a cup and add hot water, it would taste like shit. That's not what we're looking for. It's got to go through the brewing and the filtration process, and that's what you're talking about, Lou, is like, let's just continue to go through the process so that we can filter the content over time and figure out what's the right formula for what works and what doesn't work.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. And everybody's flavor and palate is different. Right, everybody takes it in a different way.
Absolutely.
Social media, that's why your game has to be so mixed, right? We are Car Guy Coffee podcast, but we have more people sometimes that are watching us right now live or watching the YouTube or just capturing a quick brew or capturing some great news. Not everybody's getting every piece of the content
Absolutely.
That's out there, and it's good that you have something. Not everybody walks into Starbucks and gets the same type of coffee. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Well, you're talking like you guys have great short form content. You've got long form content. You've got podcasts. You know that I think you're right. You have to have an offering throughout the social media universe where you can catch people when they're at high noon and ready to listen to something that you have to say, whether it's short form or long form. And when you offer that type of content, you're going to capture a much bigger audience. The big challenge I see out there is people, they want to grow their followers or their connections and whatnot. And a lot of people fall into the trap of trying to do it inorganically. You know, I've been on Instagram. I think it's going to be for real. Like I had an Instagram profile probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So I thought it was the pimple faced kid at ShopRite that was bagging my groceries. So I wasn't paying attention to it. Little did I know. little did I know. But now I have resisted all of the offers that come in literally five times a day. Let me grow your Instagram profile. We can get you 10,000. I don't want to do it that way. I've been bouncing between 800 and 1,500 followers on Instagram for the last like 6 months. I want it to grow organically. If they really like the content, then I want to stay connected to them. If they don't, I don't want to torture them. My goal is to have them enjoy and digest content that is – something that's relevant to them, and if it's torture, they get the chance to change the channel and move on.
That's right.
I love that you said that because the organic side. So there's certain businesses, and there's actually, you know, I could say there's probably two sides to that coin, and I think that some people would think that organic for their business may not work because it takes too long, right? And I agree with you, Sandy. We are all organic. I've never paid for any type of booze.
Right.
I've never paid for any of this stuff. I'm all about the organic, and that's I take a lot of pride in my organic that we built what we built all organically.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing the same thing, and I think that's the right thing to do for what we do for a profession. We're not
– correct.
You know, what we do is we're helping people. So in order for us to help people, I think that if we push it on people, they don't – people don't want to be helped
Absolutely.
If you're throwing it on them. They want to be helped when they're asking for the help. They, you know what
100%.
I mean? So when you build a following like you have organically, you've got people who are watching you organically. They're going to ask for help organically. They're not going to feel like they're pressured or tricked into a funnel or
Agreed.
Tricked into this, that they're like, you know what? Sandy, I'm going to reach out to you. I want to talk to you. How do I get this thing going? And they're going to do that. I think you're doing the right thing there. Now, on the other side of that coin, now there's those businesses out there that are car dealers. Now, a car dealership, paying for, I think, some of that stuff to get their stuff out there as deep as I can.
Different animal, 100%.
It's a whole different animal. It's not an individual anymore. Now, it's a business that's just trying to blanket the market, let people know that they're open for this or that. But I'm not looking for everybody, you know, with what I do.
My podcast
is for people who are trying to grow, people who want to get to the next level. So those people are going to find me organically because they're searching for me organically, right? Just like they're looking for you. And I love that about those people. I love my people who watch my show. I love everybody who's a car guy, coffee head. I just think that when they listen to my show, they're getting something from it and they're not being forced to listen to it. You know what I mean? So you're doing the right thing and you're going 100% the right way there. Folks, all those, take note for what Sandy's saying here.
Bunch of notes there. Right.
He's been dropping a lot of great nuggets here.
Put that shit down, baby. Hashtag WTSD is right here.
WTSD. Hashtag. I'm going to get that up here so everybody sees
get that.
Step up to stand out and hashtag WTSD.
Get you some. Man. Man, just having a fun talk here. I forgot that we have to ask all the questions. Right?
So, I'm the guy with the funny accent, which I get now. As I've traveled around the country the last 10 years, and Frank Eckert will have a good laugh at this, you know, I walk into the room, it's the guy with the funny accent. I don't hear it, obviously, because I'm from the New Jersey, New York metro area, but I get outside of this area, people have a good laugh.
I can kind of relate, right? So
he lives in Kentucky, and he's got this accent.
This has been the best, most therapeutic conversations I've had doing this podcast because I've spoken to so many people that sound more like me. And then I get a little deeper with the accent, right?
It gets a little bit. Lou, where are you from? What's your roots?
I'm actually from Long Island. I'm born in Long Island. And
shut the front door, bro.
Yeah, what part? Valley Stream, Queens. I mean, I was born in Hempstead.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you know, I know Manhattan is the center of the world, but my man Larry Moskowitz says all the time, everything emanates from Queens. Everything.
Well, I agree. Right? I agree. But that it's crazy that that's what's still connected us. We have this entire car business of funny talkers that find a way to get into a conversation together to help dealers on the lot, on the ground, on the pavement, right? These solutions come from cyberspace, show up to the lot, a salesperson's watching a video, a sales manager is finding a new product. Many different things are happening from this incredible world of social media and the digitization. Right?
Whoa! Yeah.
Of our
40-point Scrabble word, Lou. He's throwing down on Scrabble. I love it.
And then on a triple letter and everything.
We have this entire business has been transformed. Right? We're building a relationship.
Yeah. You posted or put up a question before from Frank Eckert. He said, "You know, what are we seeing in 2021 with the changes in the car business?" And I would say this in terms of how we communicate for certain is. What I'm seeing on the front end of the business right now is that there's been almost this trifold in terms of how we're going to market and how customers want to do business. And it's, you know, you still got the traditional folks that say, like, I've got to go into the dealership, negotiate my car deal, take delivery of the car the old-fashioned way. There's still a portion of the population that's more comfortable doing that. And we cannot just leave them in the dust, right? So we've got to be able to handle those. And I think that's the easiest piece of it. Then you've got the hybrid piece where people are actually transacting online. They're gathering information online. They want to work the deal online. They want to be able to give you a deposit before they come in, get the paperwork prepared before they get there, come in, and they want to do the wet signature piece and take delivery of the vehicle at the dealership. And then you have folks that, you know, whether it's COVID-related or just convenience-related, it makes no difference. And this is where you're going to pandemic-proof your business, by the way. And I am trademarking that right now, pandemic-proof, FYI. If you want to pandemic-proof your business, then your dealership needs to be able to at least meet people where they are in terms of what they want the experience to be. And you've got to be able to do the entire thing digitally online, zero wet signatures, if you can in your state, and then either deliver the vehicle to them at their home or at their office or have it shipped to them. You've got to be able to figure that piece of it out because if you're not hitting on all three of those ways to buy a vehicle these days, you're missing opportunities. If you're trying to force people into a way that you're comfortable with, you're losing business. There's no two ways about it.
And I agree. And I agree with that. And that's where, like, even I, to add to that, just a hair, is that it's the same thing, you know, when he's talking about those three different ways of being able to help somebody purchase a vehicle. But that's also, like, why I'm so passionate about subprime.
Yes.
People, You also need to include subprime in your dealerships, folks. There's too many.
100%.
I've been having so many. I've been on a few shows recently talking mostly about subprime. One was, you know, when I was over there with you guys on D-Win, which was a lot of fun. I got to talk about subprime there. I was recently on Paul Meyer's show. Paul Meyer's Sunday Night Live.
A good man. I love Paul Meyer.
I love, and he loves you too. You know, he thinks you're great. And
he's a good dude.
He really is. And sitting down with Paul, talking to him about subprime, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and start asking me about, hey, how do I get my subprime department to work? And that's the word that I immediately was like, don't call it a subprime department. That's why you're failing, because you're making it a department.
Right.
You're making it completely separate. It's like you might as well go get another building and just make it your subprime store. Right.
Their customers no different than anybody else.
Right. They're not. And they're human beings. They all have, you know, they all have hearts in them. They all have brains in them. They all have motivation. They all have something that was, you know, not so good in the past. You know, maybe they're down to their last $11. Maybe they just lost their business because of COVID. Maybe they just went 100%. Through all that, right? They all need a chance. So just treat them right. And when people miss out on that, that's another opportunity. You know, I didn't mean to get too far onto that, but you
raise a great point, because Lou alluded to it before we started the cameras rolling. Lou said, you know, we're not selling cars. We're solving transportation issues or challenges, right? And that speaks to the bigger picture, right? If we were just here to sell cars, guys, we'd be stuck in 1974, okay? And I'd still be cleaning the cigarette butts out of the ashtrays of a 75 Grand Prix. Like, that's not where we are today. It's completely different. And when you think about it in a bigger perspective, you know, that's when the magic happens. I agree with you 100%. Subprime has to be a huge piece of your focus, because there are a lot of folks out there that, you know, 10 years ago, they weren't subprime. 2 years ago, they weren't subprime. Today, they are. All right? Treat them the same way. They expect to be treated like a human
being. Always. You know, I mean, I'm not saying everybody that comes in subprime, you can help. But there's a majority of them that you can, and that's very simple. It's as simple as submitting the damn deal. So I'm gonna leave it with that. So.
and let's correlate that real quick, because the reason why I believe that your consulting is so effective and so good, it's because people can understand what Sandy knows at the top of the hill, and that Sandy is also actually cushioned by what he's learned at the bottom. Right. There's this full spectrum knowledge that you have of knowing what it's like to have it great, have it collapse, have it rebuilt, and then help somebody else rebuild.
It's empathy. It's Gary Vee says all the time, it's empathy, fellas.
Yes. That's right. And you have that not just for your clients, but ingraining into this culture that we need to have that for our customers, because they've been in the same spot. So many people have been Sandy Cerami 2019 or 2009, right?
Yep.
People have been there. And there's so many people, because of the pandemic, that were not pandemic proof, that are now trying to find a way to produce the things that they still dream, right? That this stuff is not going to stop you from being great if you stay focused on it. Those
things
you talk about. Right. So I want to ask this question that would help us kind of maybe tee all this together on that end. What would you say, Sandy,